Good morning, Heavenly Father, and thank you for a beautiful, wonderful day that we can spend in your presence and in the presence of our King Jesus, who lives within us and is always there, loving us, nurturing us, caring for us every moment of the day. Thank you, Father, for your plan for life and salvation, that we are part of it, and there's not a better life going than what you've given us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Attitude in life is everything. Good or bad, it's going to shape your day. That's why I endeavor to make my last thought at night, I love you, Papa. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for sweet dreams. And my first thought in the morning, I love you, Papa. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for a sweet day filled with your favor no matter what comes my way. You've got it. And then I turn the eyes of my heart upon Jesus, which frankly is one of the simplest things in the world that we can do to live a happy, thankful, joyful life, is to keep Jesus in mind all day. And in this Bible basics class, the greatest simplicity today is what we're looking at. The greatest simplicity is just turn your eyes upon Jesus. God's kingdom, receiving anything from God's kingdom, has never been about earning it, working for it, or deserving it. It's all about grace, about believing and receiving what God has already paid for through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, we can receive those things a lot more readily when we focus on Jesus throughout the day and know that He is with us and in us. Pretty much says it all. Thank you, Alan Jackson. So simple, so profound, and it works every single time. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This is the greatest chapter on faith, on trusting God in the whole Bible. Abel, Enoch, Abram, Sarah, Moses, and so many more, heroes of faith and heroines of faith. And in verse 33, it says in the New Living Translation, by faith, these, I say, believers, overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Okay, who wants that? I do. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the burning fiery furnace? No smell of smoke. And escaped the edge of the sword. Listen to this one. Whose weakness was turned to strength. I love that. I love it when God takes an area that was one of my greatest weaknesses and turns that into my greatest strength. And He's done it so many times. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, receiving their dead raised to life again. Folks, that is some kind of testimony. That's some kind of track record about faith. And we receive everything from God by faith through Jesus Christ. Faith is simply trusting God more than your flesh. It's not rocket science. It's just who you're going to trust. I think it was Ron who said, whose opinion are you going to love more? Are you going to love God's opinion or love your opinion? I'll vote for God. And God loves us so much that after He just gets us pumped all through chapter 11, He tells us how to live like that in chapter 12. Isn't that wonderful how that just flows? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. These are testimonies, witnesses to people who simply believed God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This great cloud of witnesses surrounds us, even as we speak in our words and mind and through the Bible. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance, determination, the race marked out before us. Here's the how, people. Here's the how. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He founded it, he perfected it, and then he filled us. Faith, last time I looked, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's in us. And 1 Peter tells us that same Jesus who filled us with himself, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. No place higher in authority. The angels are under him. The principalities are under him. Dominions are under him. Certainly human beings, you know. He's over everything except God. Jesus is. And he's gone into heaven to the right hand of God. Well, it just says that. I repeat myself. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. So therefore, those powers are subject unto us because it's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You getting the message here? Hebrews 12 gives us a simplicity of the key to the abundant life of love and power. Focus on Jesus, looking unto Jesus all through the day, in good times or bad. I invite you to refocus your brain and imagine Jesus right there with you in whatever you are doing. I don't care whether it's fun or family or high stress, even work. Can you believe Jesus can tell you better ways to do your work? People, I encourage you, I invite you, make Jesus your very best friend and turn the eyes of your heart upon him over and over and over all through the day, because what we look at inside in our subconscious is what we become. Now, if you're practicing Jesus' presence, that's wonderful. But if you're not, and your back suddenly has this twinge and it just goes up your back and shoots into the front of your chest, and your mind immediately runs to, what did I do to hurt myself? What if it gets worse? What if I can't go to work tomorrow? Am I right? Why do we go to our worst thoughts first? Sheesh, I don't know. You know, we only have anxiety in any situation where we don't have Jesus with us. Let me tell you, when you have Jesus by your side, rocking and rolling with your arm around him and his arm around you, nothing freaks you out. You're not afraid of anything on this planet. So the only time we have anxiety is when we picture a moment or event without Jesus. So the cure to anxiety is right there in Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus. See him at your right hand. See him with his arm around your shoulder. See him putting both hands on your shoulders and looking you in the face and giving you a wonderful, loving pep talk. Because then if you're back, you know, twing, twang, twong, you just say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus, first thing I do is thank you for your peace. I thank you for your love and your power to heal me even as I speak. And immediately you find yourself, you may not be out of pain instantly, but you find yourself immediately relaxing. I can promise you your blood pressure is going to go down because you start expecting Christ to intervene and make it right. So here's our choice every moment of the day, really. Where do we want to live? In the land of fear or in the land of faith? And land number two, land of faith, is Mobetta. Because folks, we're always, once we're born again, we're always either including Jesus in our thoughts or excluding him. And if we're excluding him, the only thing left to do is look at our flesh, which I'll leave it at that. Because we know which one has more power. You know the answer. So I vote Jesus in all situations, even the fun and simple ones. You know, the saints of old, they got this in terms of looking unto God as their sufficiency because Christ had not come yet, but they looked for the coming Messiah. And David said in Psalm 16, verse 8, I love this. I have set the Lord always before me. How? In the eyes of his heart. Because he is at my right hand, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Nothing was going to shake him up. Nothing was going to freak him out. He was on solid ground. And I'm doing this sharing, and I'm thinking, what if we played a game with ourselves where we challenged ourselves to think about Jesus every 60 seconds? Just think, wow, Jesus, you're right here with me. How much would your life change if you more consistently practiced the presence of God and the presence of his son, Jesus? And you may say, well, Peg, I can't think of him every minute. Okay. What if you, I've had people tell me they don't think about God for a week. I'm like, how is that possible? How is that possible? I don't even know how that's possible. Well, I guess if you're an atheist, but then you're thinking there's no God, so you're still thinking about God. But let's say because of this sharing, you think about Jesus 15 times during your day or 30 times. Well, if that's more than you're doing now, guess what that's called? It's called improvement. Here's the deal. Well, Peg, why should I go around visualizing Jesus? I mean, do you know I've gone through the Gospels many times, and sometimes I go through and I visualize myself as the one receiving from Jesus. You know, the blind person, the woman caught in adultery, whoever, the woman with the issue of blood. I picture myself receiving and how I would feel in their shoes when they receive their answer. There are other times I picture myself going through the Gospels, visualizing myself in Jesus' shoes, being able to do that for other people. Both of those are correct visualizations to have because we take the place of the absent Christ in this world. And this is the deal. Your subconscious, and this is scientific for all you scientific folks out there, your subconscious cannot tell the difference between something vividly imagined or something real. It's why when the teacher opens the desk drawer, the fifth grade teacher opens the desk drawer and there's a realistic rubber snake sitting in her drawer, she's going to jump back from the desk, her adrenaline's going to go up, she's going to start sweating, and it's going to take her mind a few minutes to catch up. Oh, it's not moving, and poke it and say, oh, it's rubber. But her bodily response was because of an imagination. And folks, that's the beauty and the curse of imagination. You know, these people that go around imagining horrible things all the time, they're going to do them or get them. These people that go around imagining they're favored of the Lord and that we're victorious and that we can be a source of good in this world, we're going to have it. Because your subconscious is like a vending machine. It can only spit out what you loaded up with. So go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. How do you build this stuff in your heart? Now, Colossians chapter 2 ends with an amazing truth that we are dead to our old ways. We're dead. We died in Christ and we rose with Christ. When we rose with Christ, we rose with his spirit, a new creation in our physical body. Got filled to the brim with him. Which sets the stage for Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where is your mind fixed? I mean, I know I'm the world's worst at times. I get a problem, and I'm so analytical and scientific in my background. I want to worry and worry and worry that problem and look up all the different... No, I have found that when I go to God first, I get the wisdom and the simplicity of how to solve it much quicker and how to do it right. So where do we set the deepest part of our heart? The Bible says to set it on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. That means we see him in our imagination. We envision. I love those pictures that show like a surgeon working on somebody, and Jesus, in the picture, Jesus is behind them with his hands on top of their hands. You know, or the little child's walking home alone from school, you know, and it's dark, a dark sky, and you can see Jesus in the picture, the painting, with his arm around the little child, protecting the child. This is why God gave us an imagination in the first place, to focus on him, to focus on Christ. And verse 3 in Colossians says, therefore, you know, we're setting our affection on things above where Christ sits at the right hand. Therefore, since you have been raised to a new life, amplified, with Christ, if you're born again, that's you. Keep seeking those things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That is the place of authority and power. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, heavenly realities, not on these temporal things of the earth. So I may have gotten those verses wrong. That may have been verse 1 and 2. Anyway, God bless me. Not the first thing I screwed up today, but messed up today. It's Colossians 1 through 3, somewhere in there. Look it up. But my friends, every day we're either living supernaturally or we're living superficially. I want to live supernaturally. How about you? Well, God is showing us how to activate what is already in us, the treasure on the inside, the treasure in earthen vessels, by focusing on Christ with you and in you all day long in his heavenly splendor. That is the golden key to a happy and blessed and fruitful life, simply looking unto Jesus. Those who deeply imagine Jesus in them and with them all day are going to experience his joy, his favor, and his peace at every turn, even in the midst of catastrophe. What looks like catastrophe. Romans 15:13. There is joy and peace in believing. Another benefit of looking unto Jesus. When we're in that place of faith, trusting him, we have joy and peace. Do you think the world could use some more joy and peace? I do. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and continues to love us and love us and love us. But again, how are we more than conquerors? Trying to do it by ourselves? Doing the go it alone trip? No, through him who loved us. That's Jesus. Philippians 4:13, a very familiar verse. I can do all things. But it doesn't stop there. I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. There he is again, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is the walk of faith, my friends, looking unto Jesus. Focusing on the Christ with you and in you is where it's at. This is how we're mentally transformed from a worm to a butterfly. Ask almost anybody out there if they'd rather be a worm, you know, who's going to end up on the end of a hook for fish bait, or a beautiful butterfly who just nourishes those flowers and, just so beautiful to watch and flies above the cares of this world. That new creation lives in us and it comes out. The treasure in the earthen vessel comes out as we focus not on the earth, but on the things of heaven, starting with Jesus. Picturing ourselves literally as God sees us, holy and without blame before him in love. All the beauty, all the favor, all the glory of Jesus Christ is yours on the inside right now. Treasure in earthen vessels. Think about this. Did you know that you have never actually seen your own face? You've never actually seen your own face. You've seen pictures of your face. You've seen reflections of yourself. But none of us have ever seen our own face. When you comb your hair, you see a reflection. And God is saying here, when you see your self-image, see the face of Jesus superimposed over yours. See his eyes over his eye, your eyes, his smile over your smile. Look full in his glorious grace. Because we know that Jesus had open access to the Father. He sought him and he got answers all his life. Never missed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hopefully that's the right verse. Aren't my teachings fun? You don't know where they're going or if I'm even going to give you the right verse. But I love you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 Amplified put it this way. We all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror, us looking in a mirror, you get in the mind picture? What are we seeing in the mirror? Not our gray hair, not our wrinkles. We're seeing the full glory of the Lord. We look in a mirror and see in us the glory of the Lord. And when we do that, we're progressively transformed into his image, which of course is spirit, from glory to glory, which even that comes from the Lord who is spirit, the spirit that dwells in you. Like I said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, with you and in you, with you and in you. They're both important. They're like a sandwich. Yep, when you and I are living out of our new creation, man, we are more and more the image, the reflection. Wait a minute. We are more and more the reflection of God the Father to this world. Who did Jesus reflect in his walk? The Father. I only do those things which I hear the Father do. I only do those things I see the Father do. The words that I speak are not my own, the Father. And now God has put Christ in charge of the body. We look to him. He gives us the words from the Father. And boy, we have that relationship with him that Jesus has, H-A-S. That's what gives Satan the old 1-2 punch. You know, Christ with you and in you. That is when Satan, baby, is down for the count. And then all we got to do is keep our foot on his neck by continuing to focus on Jesus. When we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord inside of us, that's transformative. It transforms the way everything happens in your day because it's how your attitude about yourself. You know, when I brush my teeth every morning, I look in the mirror and you know what I see? I see the glory of the Lord. I really look at myself and I look in my eyes and I say, Jesus, you're in there. It's your eyes behind my eyes. It's your love behind my love. It's your hands behind my hands. Let me be your vessel. Let me do your will. And I look in that mirror every morning, no matter how sleepy I am, and I behold the glory of the Lord. I behold the glory of the Lord. Golly, isn't that a better way to start your day than thinking of everything that can go wrong or all the things you don't want to do at the office today or the things that aren't going to be fun? Instead, you're beholding the glory of the Lord? That sets your day? What a way to start. You and Jesus, Team Elohim. And 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, right there, that's a power play. God commanded out of nothing, he created something. Out of nothing, he created everything. He's commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That same God has shined just as powerfully in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. This is how Father reveals his own glory to us today, through Jesus Christ. Journaling, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Meditating, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? He only speaks those things the Father gives him to say. Still, to this day, that's what he does. Remember that bumper sticker, Live Blessed Now, Ask Me How? Well, this is how. God has given us the keys to his kingdom, but the lock is inside of our heart. We're the ones who have to open the door of our heart and do these simple things to bring God's love and power all throughout our life, throughout our day, as much or as little as we like. Our God just never changes. He loves you today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He loves us for eternity. Jesus, same thing. He loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He's going to love you forever. And when we keep running this image, looking unto Jesus to reveal the Father, looking at the Christ in us to reveal the beauty that we have inside our earthen vessel, what we believe in our heart is what we will manifest in life. What are we filling our vending machine with? You know, everything that's going to rot our teeth are with the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Peg, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I did yesterday. Well, a friend of mine opened up a sermon by holding up a $50 bill. And he said, who would like this $50 bill? And all the hands shot up. And he said, I'm going to give this $50 to the first one. I'm going to give this $50 to one of you, but first, I'm going to do this. So he took the $50 bill in his hand, and he just crumpled it to a little tiny ball, and then pulled it out, and it's all wrinkled, and he said, who still wants it? And the hand still went up. And he said, well, what if I do this? And he crumbles it up, and he puts it under his shoe, and he grinds it in the dirt. And he picks up that crumpled $50 bill and said, now who wants it? And you know what? All the hands still went up. And he said, my friends, we've learned a very valuable lesson today. No matter what I did to this money, you still wanted it because what happened to it did not decrease its value. It's still worth $50 no matter what it has been through. You know, there are times in life we don't want to look at the Christ in us because we don't feel worthy. There are times in life we don't want to receive from Christ because we don't feel worthy. But people, I don't care if we are dropped and crumpled and thrown to the ground and crushed by life circumstances. We get back on the good foot and we begin immediately to get back in fellowship, because we're not worthless no matter what we did 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 minutes ago. We can turn around and focus on Christ in us and see again our true value, and nothing has happened to change our worth. Because once you got born again, you got the same holy, holy, holy Spirit in you that you have today. I don't care how many times you think you've blown it. Come back. Come back home. Come back home. Because, my friends, you will never lose your value to God. He bought you with the blood of his dear son, and no higher value could ever be placed upon anything on earth than the precious blood of the Lamb that purchased us for God. Just think about that. So dirty or clean or crumpled, you are still priceless to God. Focus on the Christ in you. See that pricelessness and begin to really love yourself from the inside out the way God loves you. And no matter what, you're never so far down that God's arms of love aren't deeper still. He's always, always, always in your corner. Just waiting to give you good things. Waiting to give you the promises. I call them the prizes. Daddy, I want a prize today of health. I want a prize today of favor. And they're prizes, you know? They're already bought for us by Jesus. And, you know, but I don't get these prizes by focusing that, you know, these are mine, I'm going to take them. No, I get them by focusing on the prize winner, Jesus. The promise giver, God. And here are just a couple of promises, the prizes that we can focus on in our heart anytime, any day. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by, there it is again, Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. First Peter 2:24, Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree by whose stripes you were healed. I have a painting of Mary holding Jesus when he got pulled off the cross in my bathroom, a huge painting I did, because I got a huge wall to put it on. And man, I see that every morning and think, that's the price that was paid for me. That price was paid for me, and I accept it, and I thank you for it. And I rejoice in it, and I appreciate it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Jesus. And I'm going to go to an Old Testament verse, Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is an awesome God, and he is the great King over all the earth. People, these are the things we want to hold in our heart while we focus on Jesus. The good things in life, the favor, the prizes, which come into fruition, into manifestation through faith. And the more we focus on Jesus, the more we receive from our Father. And the more we receive, the more we have to give and share with one another. The more we have to give, even the light of Christ, to help establish God's covenant. That's the beauty of getting this stuff, is you can give it for God's use. If you focus on the joy of the new birth, your sonship in the Creator, Christ's love for you, your heart will be like a garden planted by the living water that brings forth good, good, good fruit, supernatural abundance in season and out of season. This is how to never stop producing good fruit. Be that fourth heart, the good soil. Produce 30, 60, 100, man, but keep producing. And you know what? We haven't needed a concordance in this teaching. We haven't needed a dictionary. All we have to think about is a channel changer for a TV. If you find yourself in depression, anger, worry, defeatism, change a channel. Change it to channel Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the founder, the perfecter of our faith. And what if we did think of him every 60 seconds? What if you did put just some kind of sticker, Jesus or something, around your house, on the dashboard of your car, so you just thought about him more often? Wouldn't that be an improvement? I love that word, improvement. I'm constantly trying to improve. And people, we're the children of the Creator, and we, in effect, do create our own life simply by what we focus on. Psalm 34, verse 5. I love this. I love this. And you can apply this to the same thing, looking unto Jesus. They looked unto him, and they were lightened. I see two things happening there. Their face lights up with a big smile, like, I've got this. I was feeling so down a few minutes ago, and I got this. I'm getting hopeful again. I got this. Lord, we got this together. And their burden is lightened. You know, he's the burden bearer. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. What does that mean? It means they weren't afraid to ask. They weren't afraid to put their hand out. They weren't ashamed to come boldly before the throne of grace. They know this. God is my Father. Jesus is my brother. I'm part of their family. I'm not ashamed to come to them and say I need help. This is how we're supposed to work in tandem as a team. So when you're sad, look to Jesus. When you're glad, look to Jesus. When you're anxious, look to Jesus. When you think you've got it all figured out and you don't need any help, I suggest you look to Jesus to find out what you missed. Remember, an amateur built the ark through God's wisdom. Professionals built the Titanic all by themselves. Remember, an amateur built the ark. Professionals built the Titanic. One had God, one had their own wisdom. When you need help, definitely look to Jesus. You know, my favorite prayer when I have a problem is simply, help me, Jesus. And he's always there with a helping hand. And when you pray, obviously, look to Jesus. In other words, in all things, just look to Jesus. And all that time through Jesus, we are giving glory to God the Father, the way he set it up in his church today. All those times we're looking unto Jesus, we're giving glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and that is how life works under the new covenant. If this isn't simplicity itself, people, that when you look to Jesus, it takes all the onus off you trying to figure out how you're going to fix this. And just saying, Jesus, I don't know. Show me the way. That's why you're lightened. You and Jesus win every single time when you look to King Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, even as we speak. Focusing on Jesus, being in partnership with him, is the golden key to a blessed and successful life, and that is simplicity itself. Where is your focus? Heavenly Father, help us focus more and more on your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be like him, that we may receive from him, that we may glorify you through walking like him. And I just thank you for this arrangement you've made. It's just so beyond anything a person could imagine. It was your plan from before the foundation of the world. And thank you so much for bringing us into your royal family. In the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said, amen.